Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that isn't getting carried away with England's chances in the World Cup. Today is all about some of the players that we're being linked with this summer. I've spoken later on in the podcast to Tom Moore, who has reported on Brentford for the last 7 years. So I've seen an awful lot of our two targets, Ryan Woods and Romain Sawyers. He's got interesting things to say about them, about how they compare to each other, the kind of players they are, the money that Brentford are likely to want for them. And I also got him to compare how good he feels they are as compared to some of the Brentford players that have gone through and done big things since, like James Tarkowski and others. In the meantime, I am Graham Brand and I am sat here with my friend and colleague, Kieran Doody.
Hi, Graham. How are you?
Yes, I am. I'm great, thank you. So I'll be all the better if Albion actually start to make some of these transfers that we're talking about on here. Yeah. But we'll be coming to it later on. Do you know anything of Ryan Woods and Romain Sawyers?
Well, obviously we know quite a lot about Romain Sawyers. That he come through our system. To be honest, I do think he was at the club. He was kind of there at the wrong time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
When you think of who was in charge at the time. I know that Darren Moore was a big fan of him. They didn't release him until he was 21. And he got his first contract at 17. So they obviously saw something in him.
It's not like Albion don't have a long history of wasting players at that level,
yeah,
really, is it?
On when you think Berahino's the only one that's really come through, I think there are players that could have done a lot more for us.
Well, but I mean, Chris Wood is the kind of go-to example now. I mean, he'd definitely get in our team now, I'd imagine. And what do you think about it? So I thought what was interesting that I sort of learnt that actually Woods plays almost an identical position to the one that that Brunt played towards the end of last season.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. He's very much kind of a low-lying midfield playmaker, kind of quarterback. Seems to me implausible they would play next to each other. Would that concern you? What would you be doing with Chris Brunt next year?
I think the thing with Chris Brunt is he can pop up anywhere, kind of, really. He kind of performs wherever you play him. I think he'd definitely do a job out on the wing. Maybe not, you know, every week, but he could do it when asked. Mm-hmm. Left back, obviously we're a bit more confident that Gibbs might stay now, but he'll still be asked to play that. And funny enough, Ryan Woods can play full back as well,
yeah,
which is part of the reason we'd want him, because of his versatility. So I wouldn't Chris Brunt, you know, he's not, there's more strings to his bow than just, I think we didn't realise how good he'd be there until he played there at the end of last season. I think we knew that he could because of, you know, the few stints he had under Tony Mowbray, but I'm confident he'd still have a role to play if Ryan Woods come in.
I think there's quite a good chance as well that Brunt might potentially struggle in that position more in the Championship than does in the Premier League. I think in midfield in particular, you get certain players that seem to do better at certain levels. Unfortunately, I mean, Morrison always rises to every challenge, but Morrison I always thought was better in the Premier League than he was in the Championship. Yeah. And whereas There's others that I would say it was the opposite was true. Doran's been an example, yeah, you know, who never really made it in the Premier League. And I wouldn't rely on Brunt in that position personally. I think he's set pieces. You know, we're going to get more corners, and hopefully we're going to have some players that can actually nod it in, make him kind of really important to the team. But I'm not desperate to see him stay in that position particularly.
No, I think it's encouraging to see the likes of Ryan Woods linked actually, because I think it's a position we are going to. We're definitely going to have to work on this summer, because, you know, the way it's going, we're going to be left with Livermore and Jakub. Obviously, I'm not convinced Jakub's the man to... I think we're very one-dimensional with who he plays, whereas Ryan Woods, we've seen, he dictates play, to be honest. He controls the tempo of games. We've seen a lot with Brentford. And I think, to be honest, he's exactly the player that Albion fans seem to think we've got with Jakub.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, He can break up play. He can do that steely side of the game. But he's technically, he's the level of both. So I think it'd be a definite improvement.
Yeah, and I think I mean, he did sound to me, I mean, he's quite a level-headed guy at Tom, but he sort of felt like he thought that they would do business for Woods at about 8 or 9 million. They'd probably do business at Sawyers at 3 or 4 million, both of which sound kind of plausible for the Albion. But he seemed to think there wasn't much that Woods wasn't good at, really. So that might be understanding. Maybe him and Brunt will be the future for our... for our midfield. Livermore's one that worries me, actually. I don't think Livermore will be there at the start of the season. I'm desperate, as I've said before, I'm desperate for him to be there, but I just don't think I can see it. I just think there's going to be enough demand and enough reason for him to depart. I'm increasingly concerned. I mean, I think the noises you're hearing around Burnley, Dawson, okay, it's getting a slight intonation that Dawson is keen to make the move. Yeah, it's going to be a big rebuilding project. It'd be great if we actually sign someone.
It's worrying how much... Because I do think we are going to see a lot more movement once the World Cup's out of the way. Because obviously scouts are out watching players out at the minute, so I don't think there's not a lot of interest in players like Dawson currently. In a month, we could be left in a situation where a lot of the players we're basing our next season on are gone.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to rush. And we're going to be overspending on players like Woods and Sawyers, so maybe bring them in early and get business done early.
It's interesting with that in mind. So the common sense seems to think that 9.5 million will get you Bobby Reid. What do you think about that?
See, I do like Bobby Reid. I'm a big fan of him, actually, but 9 million does seem quite a lot, considering he's only ever played at Bristol. So
he's only ever had one good season, really, as
well. Yeah. If we are going to lose Rodriguez, I suppose he's a decent... You know he can do a job in the Championship. He can play... The thing is, you're getting the same sort of player. He's versatile. He can move across that front three the same way that Rodriguez can, and he scores goals. So, to be honest, if we're getting 15 million for Rodriguez, 9 million on Bobby Reid is decent business, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'd want more than that for Rodriguez, personally. I mean, I think it's very... I think it's highly plausible if we're going to sell Rodriguez. It's got to be... His value's increased last year, isn't it? We spent 12 million on him in the first instance.
Yeah.
I'd be wanting 20 million for Rodriguez.
Do you think?
Do Premier League sides sign strikers for less than 20 million these days?
Well, no, actually, that's a good
Chris
point.
Woods cost 15 million, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah, we are looking. I don't think he's worth 20 million, to be honest. I think he's, you know, he's only going to go downwards now. It's not like he's going to improve. I'd say he's reached his
point. I'd agree. I'm really conflicted about Rodriguez, because on the one hand I think you should sell players at their peak value, which I think is now. I don't think he's gonna bring any more, but on another hand I'm just so concerned about the overarching level of departures that I'm not really sure. I think I'd rather, for instance, see Rondon go and Rodriguez stay. But I am kind of concerned about that. So the other thing that's made progress this week is they've tied down Jack Fitzwater to a new contract. What do you think about that?
It's good. I'm not sure. I haven't seen enough of him to think, you know, he's perfect. But I wouldn't assume now that he's the man that's going to step straight in and start every game. So I think it's one for the future. But I think we've seen with Darren Moore now, he's looking at building a younger squad, and it's exactly what the fans have wanted for how long now. I think we've been buying players past the peak or near enough at the very peak, only going backwards. And we've lost money on them in the long run.
I also think it comes back to what you said before about, you know, it's very plausible that Fitzwater could be the next Sawyers and, you know, all these other players who've gone and then moved on for bigger money. So I think it's good. I do think particularly at centre-half, it's a difficult position really to kind of to bring someone into the side. I mean, he played 15 games for Warsaw last year at a slightly lower level, which I think is a good thing. In an ideal world, he'd probably go out on loan again. But yeah. I mean, it seems highly likely that Albion are probably going to need him from a squad perspective. You know, if we're thinking that Dawson's going to go, and we talk about this every week, Dawson's going to go. You've only got Higazi as a starting centre half. Even if you were to buy another two, which I think they should, you'd still need Fitzwater for the squad.
I'd like to see. I'm surprised they're not having a look at James Chester bringing him back. I think he'd be ideal. Obviously, Aidan Flint's the one that's been knocking around for centre half, but I just don't think he's not different enough to Higazi, who I do think he's going to be the other centre half, and it's going to have two players that, because Flint's got a bit of a reputation for losing losing a bit of focus at the back as well. He does score goals, same as Agassi. We've got two very similar players.
Well, we had Gregor McGregor on the other day talking about Flint, and the way he described him was, if you didn't know, you could have been talking about Hagaza.
Yeah,
you
know, that's what worries me. I don't really like the idea of him being the
I could not agree anymore. Sorry. The exact thing I think about Flint is that I think he's someone that in a structure that Albion is the sort of player that historically Albion have had the most out of. A kind of fairly agricultural defender who's good in the air. Albion have made success out of them in the past. But yeah, I wouldn't want to see Flint and Hagazi as a starting centre.
To be honest, it'd probably be my worst nightmare because I can't watch Hagazi without being on edge anyway, because I do feel like it does lose concentration. If you have Flint alongside him, it's asking for trouble, isn't it? Especially when you've got so many teams that play with speedy forwards. I think we'd be in a lot of trouble.
I think to take the Sky Sports line about that was Cristiano Ronaldo's agent ringing me then, but I decided not to talk to him for the sake of speaking to you. No, I think that's right. I mean, I think they're going to get backed into you. It's really, really interesting kind of antithesis, because I think what we've said about Albion not making the match that they used to is reflective of what a lot of Albion fans think, and yet I think, like us, most would probably be concerned about the idea of any reliance on Fitzwater. What he needs to be is someone who we give a try to, establish whether he's kind of good enough or not.
I think we have shown that it's worth giving young kids a chance, because like now we're paying to bring Sawyers back.
Yeah.
It was on our books. I just think now we've lost that pressure of, staying in the Premier League and keeping the money coming in. We can take a bit more risk. And I think that's exactly what they're doing in signing Fitzwater.
But to come back to the point you made, I could think of very few examples of defenders who would be better placed to play next to Hagazi than Chester. Someone who could... Essentially, what you want with Hagazi... I mean, I'm concerned about Hagazi full stop, but I talked to someone the other day who said, Hagazi was playing well for Egypt, and I pointed out that Hagazi always plays well when he defends his penalty area. That ain't going to be happening next year, and I am concerned about him. But I mean, certainly what you want is for Hagazi to be attacking the first ball and someone else to be doing doing the rest of the work. And that's kind of perfect for Chester, and we've probably need to ban Curtis Davis. This is the only place where people talk about Curtis Davis for Albion, but it'd be perfect.
I think he would as well.
They need a brain there.
Footballing brain, definitely.
And to be honest, I would suggest they probably need two. That's all still to come. Anyway, I mean, today's really mostly about talking to Tom. So I think this is a really interesting and fulsome chat. There's a few people who know Brentford better than he. So this is a conversation I had earlier on with Tom Moore, the former reporter of Brentford FC for Get West London. Okay, so I'm on now with Tom Moore, who reported on Brentford for 7 years up until April this year. Tom, thanks ever so much for joining us on Woodman Corner. Good to have you on board. So that we've got two Brentford players that are being linked with the Albion at the moment, Ryan Woods and Romain Sawyers. If we could start by asking about Ryan Woods, what sort of player is he?
I'd sort of liken him to an NFL quarterback in a way. He sort of sat between the back forwards of the more advanced midfielders and would get the play going, break up attacks. He sort of plays sort of how I describe as the Makalele role sort of at Chelsea when they were winning their titles under Mourinho the first time. He's very good on the ball, very composed, good passer, good range of passing as well. And he's a very, very good player that is someone that can thrive potentially in the Premier League as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. How far do you think he could go? I mean, I see a lot of big things said about him. I mean, do you think he's someone who's going to land in the Premier League in the fullness of time?
I think the difficulty for him to make the Premier League is he's not for want of a better word, a flashy player, shall we say. He's very much gets things done very efficiently. He has caught the eye of many opposition fans, and the amount of times I've seen comments and heard people say, "Oh, the redhead player in the middle was excellent," and has been regular, I know Aston Villa fans have raved about him every time Brentford have played them. He's a very good player, but he's not one of those players that necessarily grabs the headlines more like a striker or players like that. He can go onto the radar a bit, but he was for many the best player of last season for Brentford because of the way he brings everyone else into the game, and when he hasn't played, his presence has been missed by the team.
So he's a deep-lying player, but he's more of a kind of cultured player than he's a combative one, by the sense. You hear like kind of a deep-lying ginger-haired midfielder, and you think, oh, he's someone that's going to be chasing people around, kicking them up in the air, but that's not the case.
He has that side to his game. He certainly is a feisty player. He got sent off on Good Friday for getting involved in an off-ball altercation with the Sheffield United goalkeeper, and he also had an issue with Bradley Johnson in earlier in the season, sort of coming together, both of them I think got a yellow card each. He certainly has the feisty element as well, but when he's on the ball, he's very cultured and very good at spreading the play, but he's more than happy to put a tackle in if required as well. So he can do it all in that regard.
Well, you can take the boy out of Canuck, but you can't take the Canuck out of the boy. That's I'm glad to hear about that. So we've been talking about £6 million, or it's been reported £6 million. How much do you think Brentford would likely want for him, and how much do you think he'd likely go for?
Brentford have always made it clear that if a club meets a valuation, then they will accept it. They clearly did that last year with Birmingham and the three players that went to St Andrews. I would say for someone like Ryan Woods, I know there was talk about £6 million in January. I think the club would be looking for closer to £8-9 million for him if they could get something like that for a player that as skilled as he is. They would be happy with that because he is a player that can just make people that gets brings others in and makes people tick.
So also, Romain Saïss is a player that we've been linked with. Obviously, Romain spent his youth at the Albion, but he's a player that not many of us have really seen to any large extent. I mean, what have you seen from him at Brentford?
I think with Romain Saïss, it's been constant improvement. I think Romain Saïss at the start of the 16-17 season, he hadn't necessarily made that step up League One to the Championship, having come in from Walsall, and certainly he was jeered off in a home game, and then becomes a hero a week later by scoring at Loftus Road as Brentford won at QPR for the first time in 50 years, pretty much. So he had a difficult start, but he really came into his own this season. He showed a great range of passing. I think his pass for Lasavibe's second goal at Norwich was, for me, the assist of the season, shall we say. He's got a great eye. He's got a good attitude. He can look a bit languid, and sort of like he's mentioned it before in interviews that people get the wrong impression about him. He's one that can be a bit misunderstood by supporters, but his skills and quality have won all the doubters over, and it also shows a lot about his character, because when you've got a player that is sort of the fan's scapegoat, as most teams seem to have one at some point in a season, when you can go from being the scapegoat to a player that's considered by many to be one of the players of the season, that I think for myself and for many supporters, the player of the season vote, as it were, was a choice between Ryan Woods and Romain Saïss. So I think that says a lot, to go from being someone that a lot of fans wanted to see leave to one of the first names on the team sheet in the eyes of the wide support. It shows that he's able to come back from a loss, and his attitude as well, which is top notch.
Do you think he's a Premier League player in the making? I mean, it strikes me, I think it's interesting, you know, that the we're talking about a player that's perhaps had one good season in the Championship, and I think it's interesting that they were linking him at $3 million. I'm sure it costs a lot more than that, but I almost kind of feel like if Albion can buy a Championship player for $3 million, they should probably be looking at another one. Is that because he's been undervalued there, or because he isn't really a Premier League player in the making?
Likely to be a Premier League player, because obviously in the Championship you've got some sides that really like to press and come in to try and nullify an attack. In the Premier League, it looks as if you can get a little bit more time on the ball, and that sometimes can be the difference. So he's one that could probably play in the Premier League, but I think for someone like him, and you could probably say to a lesser extent Ryan Woods, is for them to be playing in the Premier League, is they're more likely to have to win promotion with a team to get their Premier League opportunity, because from what I've seen in Brentford's history, and players have come and gone, especially in the last few years, is none of them have left to a Premier League club. Other players like Andre Gray, James Tarkowski have now established themselves in the Premier League, but they had to get promoted with Burnley to get that opportunity. So I could see him performing well in the Premier League, but he's probably going to have to win promotion to get that opportunity. But I'd probably say that would apply to most Brentford players, and probably even Dean Smith as well. I certainly think as a manager, he's got a great chance of managing in the Premier League, but he's going to have to take a club there to get that opportunity, I think.
And can I ask about Rhodes? So again, it was about £3 million the national reports were about Romain Sawyers. What do you think it's likely that he'd actually end up going for?
I would probably say the club would be looking for sort of £3-4 million. Obviously, he's a bit older than some of the other players, so it probably is from their perspective, his value is probably not going to get much higher.
Yeah.
And that they've clearly shown a policy of trying to buy low, sell high, and I think the club's recent transfer history has shown that that's proven to be a great success. So I'd say, and as he came on a free transfer, it would certainly represent a sizeable profit from the club's perspective, and they would feel that they feel that when a player leaves, they always are confident in being able to replace a departed player, and I think their consistent performances in the Championship have shown that they can at least maintain their top 10 positions in the second division, and as they had their best points returned last year than in the previous 2 years, they can still develop further and make that push at the top of the table. So they would not be happy to see him go. They'd be sad to see him go, but they would believe they could replace him in the future.
Funny, if you've moved me on to an area I wanted to ask you about, because I think Brentford's an interesting club, really, for as someone sitting here in Birmingham, because it seems to be a club with a very West Midlands heart at the moment. We've mentioned two players here that are both from the West Midlands. You've got a Brummy manager, Andre Gray, was from Wolverhampton. It seems like there's a big kind of link between the West Midlands and Brentford. As a result, I tend to kind of look out for them. I mean, how do you feel next season's going to go for Brentford? Do you think it's going to be much the same as this year?
I think looking at the season just gone, I'm sort of torn between it being considered a good season by the doing better than the previous 2 years, but I also see it as a missed opportunity for Brentford. I think they had the ability in their squad to make the playoffs, actually. I think their poor start to the season, where they didn't win in their first 8 games, cost them the chance at the playoffs, and their struggles at times when it came to holding on to leads, especially when you had the likes of QPR scoring twice in stoppage time to rescue a point. You had other sides like Burton scoring the late equaliser with their only shot on target. They there were points that they would feel they should have picked up, and I'm sure a lot of other clubs would be saying the same things. But there were a lot more obvious, you can point to those points being dropped as to why they didn't make the playoffs. So I feel that there would be a sense of they'd probably give it 6 out of 10 for last season. So I'd probably say they will certainly be looking at a top 6 spot this year, provided they can refresh their squad, given the need to sell players in transfer windows to maintain FFP compliance. So that's always been the issue. Brentford clearly have limited resources from outside selling players, so that's the way they have to operate, and they've been able to do that probably better than the majority of clubs in the division. You could make an argument that their transfer dealings were better than, say, Wolves, even though they won the league. They obviously put a lot of money into it, so for the money that Brentford spent is pound for pound, they're certainly up there as one of the best in the league.
I think they're a superb story, especially when you bring in the nature of play and the teams that they're kind of competing with. I think it's really strong. If I could finally ask, so in terms of Ryan Wood and Romain Sawyers, and then the other, you know, the many players that have come through the ranks and gone on to big things at Brentford, how would you compare them? Who do you think is a better player out of Ryan Wood and Romain Sawyers, and how do they compare to the likes of some of these players who've gone on to better things? You know, I know in different positions, but Andre Gray and Tarkowski and that, are they comparable?
It's a very difficult question.
Yes, I know.
They're all such different players. I would probably say Ryan Woods you could compare to Andre Gray because of his quality on the ball and the way he's developed over the past 3 years at Brentford. He's certainly become a much better player over those 3 years, and certainly is established as one of the best players in the Championship. But the problem he's had is with the way Brentford play is the teams in the Premier League that would need a player like that tend to at the moment have players that you'd probably say are better than him in that regard. So he,
because it's such a technical role.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously now he's retired, but you've got players like Michael Carrick that have performed that role really well. You've obviously got the likes of Eric Dyer. You could even look at Jordan Henderson. Those sort of playmaker midfielders that sit in front of the back four. So a lot of the teams that he'd suit most have some of the best players in the country. So that's obviously a difficult thing for a player like Ryan. But he certainly has the ability. He's a sort of player that you can build a team around as well, and obviously for a side like West Brom who are having to rebuild after their relegation, he is the sort of player that you can build a side around, and clearly that is something I'd probably say I could see him in a way being the centrepiece of a West Brom revival, as it were, because of the way he plays and the way he brings others in. For someone like Romain Sawyers, I think he's the sort of player that, if you look at the likes of Andre Gray, James Tarkowski, he is a player that if he gets the chance, he would take it. He would learn, he would adapt, he would develop. He's probably one that you'd probably have to look as one to for 6 months further down the line in the Premier League, as someone that once they get up to speed, once they can, they understand their teammates as well, then they'll really thrive. For some players, it's just a case of getting used to the way they're required and adapting to it. And some take that on board a bit faster than others. But sometimes the ones that take it on board in a time end up improving even more than someone that's done it, that's been able to click faster.
Awesome, so thank you to Tom for that, and thank you as ever for joining us on Woodman Corner. We have got some... We are going back to our roots. We've got some former Albion players who are coming to chat to us soon, so we can look forward to that. Kieran, thank you for joining us again this week.
Thanks for having me again, Graham.
And we will see you again next week for another Woodman Corner.